Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Now, as Mr. Smith said, it was a mistake on his part. This was all presented to him in great detail to him and Brad Baker in a meeting with myself and several of the other residents. And that meeting was legally recorded, if you recall. You recall that, Mr. Baker? So that was all presented. And we were contacted by Kerry and we were told it was taken care of. So at some point, a conscious decision was made by someone to distribute a false narrative that the road was not being built. That narrative was perpetuated as recent as last month. It was perpetuated all the way until they broke ground building the road. This was to prevent us from having time to get legal representation. That was absolutely despicable. You've stabbed in the back the collective owners of $8 million worth of real estate on Ibis Road alone for the benefit of one developer.
So this was Monday's meeting, and we've talked about this a little bit since then. Also with Brad Baker, we talked about this, that the on the east side of Avalon Boulevard, right across from the new courthouse, right behind the hangar, okay, kind of in that vicinity where you have that frontage road, where you have up to the north, you have Trump Boulevard, and then you have Ibis and a couple of other roads that run east and west. And these roads east-west are all dead-end streets. They end in cul-de-sacs. But as I have said before, you always have to be careful because dead-end streets don't stay that way. You know, people build behind there. When there's forest, they take out the forest and they put in houses or whatever, depending on the zoning and a lot of other things. Well, the folks who live on Ibis were promised that this would not happen behind them. And now all of a sudden you've got a contractor who's laid all the pre-work down to do a road and not the actual asphalt, but everything else like the curbs and stuff, and they've flattened it. And the county has put up a barricade, but these people are freaking out because, you know, they're going to connect. And when we talked with Brad Baker about this Tuesday after the Monday meeting, you know, he indicated that at this point everything was still up in the air, and there's a long history behind this. But this is a guy named Trinity Coburn, one of the residents there, who's complaining about, you know, Kerry Smith, you know, and he's the chairman of the board. And, you know, that basically we feel like we've been lied to, you know, as recently as within the last month. And, you know, you guys said you would not allow this to happen. Why would the builder be doing this if he's not allowed to do it, especially because he has to cross county land in order to do it?
I will note this. That road has not been built yet. They've put the curbs in, but it is confirmed from Northwest Florida Water Management that they do not have a permit to build the Ibis section of that road. You are on notice right now that the county is permitting, at this moment, a road to be constructed without a state-required permit. The state official has been leaving messages with the county since Thursday. No response. Right now, they have 10 guys working furiously to get this road built. You all know as well as we do that once that road is in, we're screwed.
Yeah, because you don't typically get to undo that, and that's the problem, because then maybe they sell it to somebody else and somebody else comes along. Well, we didn't know. I mean, you know, I think they're right to, you know, once you put it there, it's impossible to unput it, which is kind of like once you clear the trees, it's impossible to unclear the trees, at least not right away. Anyway, so they're frustrated because they feel like they have been lied to, and, you know, based on prior board votes, that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. I would feel the same way if I live with them. I mentioned this the other day that, you know, I would be fighting with them. I am fighting with them. I also know that in, you know, reality, a lot of times these things don't go the way you want them to go, unfortunately. So,
because the next person who's going to buy it, they're going to buy that road and they're going to go, we didn't know. We didn't know the road was blocked. We didn't know anything about it. Please let us in. We're D.R. Horton. That's the whole purpose of this, is to let this developer sell this piece of property. That's why the road is going to be put in, so he can be deceived. So y'all are deceiving us. We're being deceived, and the future purchaser of this property is being deceived, all for the benefit of this developer. Thank you. I anxiously await to see how this is properly taken care of.
Thanks.
Yeah, there were a bunch of people there who were worked up about this,
next
and understandably
Michael
so.
Sinclair.
And, you know, no, he wasn't Nikita Khrushchev banging the shoe on the table or the podium, but, you know, it was pretty emphatic, which is very understandable. So how did the commission, how did Kerry Smith respond? We'll get to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Well, no accidents to report to you right now. Everything is flowing smoothly. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. Just seeing a minor delay on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, but that's through that construction zone. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. So I apologize. I cannot remember whether this next set of clips came before Trinity was speaking or after Trinity was speaking, because I know the other objection or the other claim had been that there was a protest, a demonstration that was held there, and Kerry Smith, who had always expressed sympathy for the Ibis folks and not wanting to have that street opened, and he had not been there, but there was a reason he hadn't shown up to the protest. I think this was after the other clips, but it doesn't really matter. I just want to tell you, I'm playing them in an order that may not be quite the order that they were in.
So a lot of the stuff that we're doing at this point, you know, for me to show up to a protest, of course, I saw stuff on Facebook. Kerry didn't even show up. Well, of course I didn't. I was 400 miles away, and I wasn't invited, number one. But there's one of the things that I've been working on this county, and I think all of us are. I'm not going to be the spearhead of this, is we're working on getting trust back into this Board of County Commissioners. Now, I see some of you shaking your head, but that's what we are. We are working hard to get trust back into this county Board of County Commissioners. And for us to, you know, there's going to be errors from the past, but it's going to take courage on our part to stand up and vote correctly.
No, and they absolutely are trying to do that. I think the five commissioners are, you know, all at least trying, but there's a very frustrated population in Santa Rosa County. For a lot of different reasons. And so even when you have, you know, good people, smart people trying, if they make mistakes or tell you things that look like they're lying, it can be pretty frustrating. Very understandable.
When I see signs that Kerry's a liar, I kind of take that personally. I take it personally. And I, as I should. Anybody should take that personally. And I'm thankful that I didn't see it until the last day of my vacation, but, you know, it is what it is. But I want you people to know that we are working hard, and everybody that sits on this board's got a dart board on the back of their head. And we're big boys. We got to take it. And I know, you know, last meeting session you had a little bit of a tiff with Facebook and stuff, and people have the right to do what they want to do, but I've got the right to address it, and I'm going to address it. You know, you can put on signs that I'm a liar. That's fine. Just know you're hurting my feelings. But that's all I've got on that.
I kind of like this. I mean, look, Kerry wears his heart on his sleeve. He pops off sometimes, and he shouldn't. He knows it. He's often talking about how he's going to say something to me, and then when he gets home, his wife is going to tell him he shouldn't have said that. And he's right. She's adorable. I've met her. But I like somebody who's in office and is willing to say, you know what, honestly, being called a liar hurts. You know? You get a lot of these politicians that I don't know whether it bothers some of them or not. But it should bother you when somebody calls you a liar. It should hurt your feelings when somebody says something that's, if it's true, it hurts because you feel guilty, and if it's false, it hurts because you're being lied about. And either way, it's unpleasant. Now, some of these politicians are like, well, I just, you know, it's just part of the job, and just take it. You don't care? What are you, a sociopath? Like, well, you shouldn't care what people think about you. What universe do you live in? Human beings are built to care what other people think of them. We're social beings. We're built to form relationships based on trust and mutual benefit and service and devotion. And rejection sucks. I mean, criticism sucks. Like, all of it. That's the notion that somehow, well, you know, you should just be able to take it and not have it bother you. Really? I mean, you're literally saying that politicians should be sociopaths. They shouldn't care what other people think about them. That's not healthy. So when I hear, you know, politicians pretend or say it does, I mean, I always think that's a deep. So I actually like people who are willing to get up there and say, you know what, it's unpleasant. I don't like feeling this way. It keeps me up at night having to deal with, you know, people hating me for the wrong reasons. I mean, hate me for the right reasons, I'll feel guilty about that. But, you know, when you hate me, and what it does is too, is that, you know, if you're a normal person, you're always trying to solve the problem. And so you have the, I know I do this, have these arguments with people in your head. You're like, well, they're wrong for this and this and this reasons, and they just won't figure it out and they won't learn. And I mean, that's actually pretty normal. The abnormal person is one like, I don't care what they say. I don't give a rip about any of that. Really? I mean, that's like, you need counseling. Anyway, so I actually like that he's a little bit, you know, forthcoming, honest, I don't know, emotional. That doesn't bother me at all. Then we got to a part of the meeting where, you know, Kelvin Enfinger, who is a builder, you know, he's the what head of the HBA. I forget. He's a friend of sorts. I mean, I don't know him that well, but I've had him on the show a couple times. Decent guy. And then I guess while he was speaking, people were making noises, you know. They were chirping from the audience, which is, God, it's such a juvenile behavior. It really is. You see this in Milton. You see this in both Miltons, like both the city of Milton and, of course, Santa Rosa County Commission meeting is in Milton. Anyway, so Kerry Smith is going to challenge them.
I want to take this time to admonish anybody that thinks it's good to speak from the crowd. You're grown-ups. Act like it. Mrs. Chapman, you're a regular here. You just sat there and I heard what you said. It is. Please. Okay. Mrs. Hawthorne, you're a regular here. Please refrain from acting like a child. You're still acting like a child.
She's still talking back.
I am over this bad behavior. We just, let's please act like adults. Please.
Now, I'm all for a good pleading. But also, you look, if people have bad behavior, you can start with, hey, behave. But at some point, you have to say, look, this is the rule. This is going to be the rule. And I hate to kick somebody out of this meeting, but if you're going to chirp and talk back and pop off from the audience, I'm going to say, I'm going to warn you one time, and then you're going to be escorted out. Might seem like a small enough thing. Or you allow it, you know. And I'll be frank, I don't really mind a lot of the crowd noise. I think it's kind of entertaining and lets you know where people are at. But I do think it's immature. It's like, you know, the third grader can't keep their mouth shut. But then again, I have sympathy for these people because I know that if I were on a board, I would be the guy who's rolling his eyes. Because when people say stupid things, I can't not react. I mean, I do. I always, you know, just what you hear on the radio, that's how I interact with all this. So the people with the poker face, you know, I admire their skill at, oh, uh-huh, yeah, wow, that's totally insane, but thank you for sharing. You know, like, I can't do that. I'm the one who's reacting all the time.
I'm in support of everybody getting up and having their 2 cents. And for people to sit there in the peanut gallery and disrespect people that get up there.
I love the peanut gallery.
It's terribly childish. I just, it's beyond me. You can't help yourself, can you?
Because she keeps doing it.
Chris Kerb.
So anyway, at some point, what you have to decide is, I can't scold anymore. I just got to make a rule, and the rule is this. And if you break the rule, we're going to escort you out. And it might seem like a small enough thing, but people will learn. They'll behave or they'll leave. 624 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. More on this in a bit, because Kerry, they took a break. And the headline, you might have seen the P&J had a headline about this. He came back and had a sort of stunning revelation about all of this and even said, you called me a liar. I did lie to you and didn't even know it. So that'll be next hour. I'll have that for you.
Wait. You're going to make me wait that long?
7:10, bro. Next episode.
Man.
Absolutely. Oh, man. All right. 437-1620, 437 1620. If you are 64 turning 65, if you are retiring, if you have questions about Medicare or Medicaid, if you want to know about prescription drug benefits or supplement or, you know, Advantage or anything in this vicinity, call Ricky Stewart. She's a good friend. I have known her as long as we've lived here. She's awesome. Her whole family does insurance, and she does this one part of helping people get converted over onto Medicare, because if you're not familiar with it, it's a big new thing, right? And it can be scary and a little bit unsettling. But give her a call, 341-2185, or just look her up online, either Ricky Stewart Insurance or Insured by Ricky. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Yes, I do. No accidents to let you know about right now. Everything is flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110, even 98 and Highway 90 and 29 are looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
They told us nothing but lies.
These timeshare thieves out there are terrible.
They bullied us.
Our timeshare is all a scam.
They stole from us. They were thieves.
I was completely taken advantage of.
Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group, and I know the tough spot you're in. Are you asking yourself, why did I buy that timeshare? I'll tell you why, because that presentation wasn't a normal sales pitch. It was a show to convince you that timeshare is a great investment. They told you it was available today and today only. They said you're foolish if you don't buy, and unfortunately, you believed them. We get over 3,000 complaints a week from folks just like you that were misled into buying a timeshare. Give us a call. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-881-4242. 800-881-4242. 800-881-4242.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week we're talking about crawfish, and how you can nominate a hospitality hero, plus the benefit that tourism has on our community.
Tomorrow at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
This is Coke Zero Sugar. Could I be the best Coke ever? Listen closely. Hear those bubbles? That mouth-watering waterfall? Delicious. Ice cold. And zero sugar. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Try and decide.
Try Coke Zero Sugar today and decide for yourself if it's the best Coke ever. Find Coke Zero Sugar at any local retailer.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers. On the News Radio Garden Line, sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Hall's Hardware in Milton.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
You've got mail.
One, two, three, four!
Whoa, whoa, hashtag me too. 17, come on now. Good morning, 6:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, John. President Trump cracking down on DEI in the education system with two new executive orders yesterday. They target efforts to promote DEI in the classroom. Trump says U.S. education is finally getting out of the business of DEI.
And one of them is big about accreditation, because the accreditation agencies require you to show DEI elements. And he's saying, well, that needs to be changed, obviously. But also the idea of, you know, pure merit is letting people in on pure merit and advancing people on pure merit, as opposed to the idea of diversity through skin color. Diversity in ideology, but not diversity in skin color or gender, for example. Go ahead, David. Very interesting stuff.
And the Food and Drug Administration halting its quality control program for milk and dairy. The FDA says the Food Emergency Response Network Proficiency Training Program, boy, that's a mouthful, will eventually continue in another lab, but in the meantime, they're going to be working with states to protect the milk supply.
Very good. David, thanks for the update. Oh, somebody says, Andrew, you always tease these segments coming up later with the good audio, and I have to be at work. Well, the podcast, baby. NewsRadio923.com or on the app.
Angelosi, Russia raining down missiles on Kyiv overnight.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has cut short his trip to South Africa to return home after the strikes. Zelensky said 70 missiles and 150 drones were fired into Kyiv overnight, which took place hours after peace talks stalled in London.
That's Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. President Trump lashed out at Zelensky for refusing to surrender Crimea as part of a possible deal. And the president's going to meet with the Norwegian prime minister today to talk about the war and trade, as new Fox polls show only about 33% of Americans support Trump's tariff plan.
President Donald Trump's approval rating right now is at 44%, down 5 points from a month ago. He still earns strong approval on one of his key campaign issues. This poll shows 55% of respondents like what he's done on border security.
Fox's Grinnell Scott, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 70 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. A young motorcyclist taken to the hospital with serious injuries after a head-on crash into a pickup truck on Fairfield Drive. This happened yesterday afternoon. FHP says the 22-year-old rider was headed east on Fairfield. The truck was headed west and in the left turn lane at 61st. Witnesses say that the rider had passed 4 to 5 vehicles just before they entered this intersection on 61st Avenue, the bike crashing head-on into the truck as it was still sitting in that turn lane. The rider was taken to Baptist Hospital, the truck driver also suffering minor injuries in that crash. An 80-year-old Pace man is charged with having child pornography. Deputies arrested Arthur Harbison last week. Deputies reportedly received a cyber tip last July that linked him to the files. Harbison admitted to deputies he'd searched for the material. He's since been released from the Santa Rosa County Jail on $200,000 bond. Well, business leaders in Santa Rosa County at the Industrial Park on Highway 87 yesterday, they were breaking ground on new buildings being put up by Summit Real Estate Group.
There'll be two buildings. Building 100 is a 53,610 square foot single tenant building that we pre-leased to Mondelez, a Fortune 500 company that makes snacks such as like Oreos and Nabisco. And so it's a big investment for them.
And that is Director of Investments, Jack Ross. He tells New Radio that they saw a big need for Class A developments here in our area. He says the vacancy rate in this area is one of the lowest in the nation. Well, big changes could be coming for tourism in the state. The State House advancing their budget package, which includes House Bill 1221. That would dissolve tourism development councils, move tourism bed tax collections into general funds. The goal would be eventually to have that money go towards lowering property taxes. Visit Pensacola CEO Darren Schaefer says other tourism-dependent states have tried this, and it didn't work.
Colorado is a great example. Oh, everybody comes here to go skiing in the mountains and, the great outdoors. But when they cut their Department of Tourism, they just fell off the map. And it wasn't too much longer that they restored all the funding, but then they had to dig out of the hole.
And Schaefer says this legislation could have a big impact, including loss of jobs and businesses and other taxes that are paid mostly by tourists, such as local option sales tax, could fall off. Well, a Pace man facing a laundry list of charges after allegedly trying to break into a woman's home, then set it on fire. 27-year-old Anthony Crevitas, he was arrested by Santa Rosa deputies this last Saturday, according to a report. Crevitas was at a woman's home trying to break in by taking screws out of a board that was covering a window, but when he couldn't get in, then he allegedly set that board on fire. Well, the man reportedly stole an electric bike and said he was coming back with a shotgun. Now, deputies arrested him before he could return to the home, but the story does not end there. He was taken to a local hospital for treatment of an earlier injury. As he was being treated, he jumped out of a CT scanner, took off running, and crashed through a glass door, then ran into the wood line. Deputies later found Crevitas hiding in a retention pond. He's now being held in the Santa Rosa jail with no bond on a long list of charges, including arson, grand theft, stalking, property damage, among several others. 6:35 at News Radio, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Yes, I do. No accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Starting to see some delays again on 98 eastbound. just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, headed toward Windhaven Beach. Maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay through that construction zone. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a nice day today with temperatures near 79 degrees for your high, partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. For your Saturday, going to be looking nice and warm with a high near 83 degrees. And by Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 68 degrees right now. Our next news at 7, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find, nowhere to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Ready to get out of the cycle of renting but think home ownership is too far out of reach? Pensacola Habitat for Humanity's Community Land Trust makes it more affordable than ever. Here's how it works. You own the home but not the land, lowering your mortgage and monthly payments, making home ownership attainable for more people. And the best part? You still build equity and generational wealth. Learn more. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org and take the first step toward owning your own home.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air. Tune in today at 9:30. See you groovy people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Playing tournament baseball, tournament lacrosse, or going out of town to compete, you want to know you're competing on a consistent surface that doesn't have a lot of transition time between games. But when you're traveling as a family, you want to get your games in for what you've paid for. You don't want to be at the facility till midnight with rain delays and so forth. This artificial turf product provides a consistent play field surface, but it also provides a high level of certainty you're going to get your games in when you're traveling out of town, spending a lot of money on food and hotel to get your games in.
So this is Michael Rhodes. He is the director of Parks and Rec for Escambia County. He has gone to the Tourism Development Council, the TDC, where they spend bed tax money, and he's asking for a turf changeout for the regular dirt and grass fields that are up at the John R. Jones facility on 9 Mile. This is the big complex on the south side across from like Hillcrest Church. If you know that vicinity at all, huge complex, okay? Behind which now you have all of these big apartment complexes. It's, you know, very developing kind of area. And their basic argument is, look, if we can just get turf on these fields instead of dirt and grass, we can have bigger competitions. We can have more tournaments. We can generate a lot of bed tax revenue, a lot of restaurant revenue. We can do exactly what TDT funds are supposed to do. We can really make an investment in money-making in our county.
And I'll briefly go through this. We wanted to include some of our competitors to our east and west. Daphne, Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Dothan, Alabama, Panama City, Saraland just completed a brand new turf facility. Fort Walton Beach has upgraded. These are competition to us. These are folks that have invested in the turf facility.
So they have turf fields in their complexes and we do not, and they do better at competing against us because you can't get rained out of a turf field. I mean, you can have to stop play, but as soon as 15 or 20 minutes past the rain's up, you're back playing on it again. And so we would not only have a better facility because it'd be newer, but we would have a bigger facility, and we have all the tourism advantage of people really want to come here. They don't want to go to the middle of nowhere.
I'm not going to sit here and say anything bad about Dothan, Alabama, and peanut country over in Dothan or Daphne, but I feel that we present southern hospitality, beaches, and a whole lot of natural resources to be ultra competitive with them. And Adam Reed and I, our deputy director, were speaking. If this happens and we bring this to fruition and have 20 artificial fields, we will be the largest turf facility offering the most amount of fields in this entire region. Not even close.
So then John Buck, and by the way, it's kind of a weird one because, you know, Mike works for the county. So this is the county coming to the TDC asking for money that then the county actually approves because the Board of County Commissioners, TDC is purely advisory. So they could theoretically just spend the money, but this is the process that they're supposed to go through. John Buck, who is the president of NEP.
During my time coaching my children and traveling to various locations throughout the southern part of the United States, I have noticed that Pensacola is missing one main thing in youth sports, and that is turf. A good conversation starter when you go to these events is people always ask where you're from, and probably say Pensacola, Florida. And they always ask, man, that's such a nice area. Do y'all have a complex like this down there? And sadly, I'm like, no, we don't.
We don't have a turf complex. We do have a complex. You know, it's, a, what is it, 18? I mean, there's a lot of fields here. 4, 8, 12, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, of different sizes, you know. And they're all kind of nestled in amongst each other, plus the big open field, I guess they use for soccer, you know, but it's sort of unstructured, basically. So John Buck also says, he says the teams like to go where there's turf. Tournaments go where there's turf, especially when your two-day tournaments are one thing, especially during the school year, but a four-day tournament, you know, where people are going to drive on either side and then they're going to play many, many, many games. Why not bring them here with a turf field, with a $25 million investment in upgrading our facility to turf instead of the existing grass and dirt?
Teams from our area leave Pensacola to go and play at these places specifically to play on turf. So teams from other areas that don't have turf also look at that as well. Not only would we be keeping local teams local, spending money at our local restaurants, but we would be bringing in teams to stay at our hotels, visit our beaches, take in what Pensacola has to offer, eat at our restaurants, and support our retail stores.
So I will tell you, when I was listening to this conversation, I was skeptical. I was reluctant because, A, $25 million is not a small amount of money. That's a lot of money. We're talking about spending $100 million on the Bay Center, which came up in the conversation. You know, where are you going to get all this money from? Okay, especially because we got the Bay Center plus the prospect of another facility, maybe. This feels like Stephen Berry's second effort to try to get the, you know, signature gift development thing that he wanted to do behind Ashton Brosnahan, and that did not work out. That was an indoor facility. This feels to me like him in his, I think 9 Mile, his district. It's right around the edge, but I think that's his district. You know, it feels like Stephen Berry's second try. Now, you can't object that this is a bad location. This is a good location compared to Ashton Brosnahan, right? It's right along a major road. It's an existing facility. But what I was thinking is, I mean, we already have the facility. I get that rain is inconvenient and can mess up tournaments, but we're going to start with an existing facility. We're going to dump $25 million in, and at the end, we're going to have the same number of fields. And it's a hard thing to persuade me that that makes sense for that much money. You know, I if you wanted $5 million or $10 million, maybe I could see it, but $25 million is an awful lot of money. Now, John, I know you have an opinion about this. I'll get to you in just a second.
Very, very much opinion.
John Pickens, because he's got kids who did. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
All right, no accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays on 98 eastbound. Right around the Windhaven Beach area. But other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Somebody texts in at 437. NEP needs to fix the scoreboards. I'm not sure I tracked it all, but I believe it was $20 million just for the turf and $5 million for various other improvements and upgrades. Like, they put a couple million dollars in the lights there last year, I think. So it's a whole facility renovation for $25 million, which, again, in my mind is like, well, we have a thing, and at the end we're going to have a thing, and what are our $25 million? A nicer thing. Okay, I see that. Is that going to make the big difference between getting a handful of tournaments a year and getting 50 tournaments a year and revenuing all this money? Because if it did work, it would pay off the payment. It would do what tourism money is supposed to do. But I had questions. So, John, thoughts?
Well, since I was a coach and a head coach for over 10 years of baseball and football, I played at NEP. I played mostly at Para.
Okay.
And they have tons of tournaments on natural grass, everything.
Mm-hmm. Para's the one in Pace, right?
Okay. Yes, Para. But we've played at NEP before. They've got drainage issues.
Mm-hmm.
Fix those drainage issues. Then you've got a nice field. I don't know. We went and played a tournament in the summer, I think over in Fort Walton Beach, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And that turf was so hot during the summer, my son's feet had blisters even through the cleats, through everything. Yeah.
I believe it.
These fields are, if they will keep them up and make them drain properly and put new sod down,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to bring in what they say it's going to bring in.
It's not going to be the huge difference maker.
Exactly.
Or it could make a difference at a much lower price tag if they would just remodel the fields as they are and make,
you know, put another concession stand in there, get the scoreboards working, just the little things instead of this big massive. The little things make the most difference to the kids.
Yeah,
and this is all about the kids.
So the para fields are dirt and grass.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And you have no problem bringing in tournaments there?
None at all.
So that's like a red herring here. Is there any truth of it that turf is better because, like, it's, you know, it'll handle the rain better, you don't have to cancel games better?
It just depends. I've never seen it.
It sounds like you're saying it's more important how the thing is run and making sure that you just have decent enough drainage, that would be good enough. And I don't know what would be involved in making the drainage better.
Right.
You know, that might be a problem.
I mean, they're working on the drainage issues at Para, so that works out really good. Where when it rains, it'll drain properly, we can play ball.
Now, the objections or the questions that were raised about this, 437-1620, if you want to weigh in. Ashley Hoffberger, I love when somebody asks the question that I have. And she asked exactly the question that I was thinking, which is, well, if there's like 18 fields and you're talking about $25 million and turf is the big difference maker, could we not just do half? And then at least we're only halfway in, but we could see if there really is a big difference, you know, and that is, I mean, I can swallow $12 million a lot easier than $25 million for this, again, upgrade.
I love the project as well. I just had a few questions on the sizes of it. You said that Bay County and Daphne were already hosting tournaments with 80 teams, and I noticed that we're looking at putting in almost double the number of fills that they have. Is it maybe overkill, or can we cut back on the number of fields, or what is your recommendation?
Yeah, if they're hosting 80 team tournaments, we can host 80 team tournaments with only renovating half the fields there if that's what you want to do. I know Jen Brayer, city councilwoman who's on the board, she had also raised a question about the safety with PFAS and chemicals on the turf and over long time exposure and all of that. I'm not sure that I'm worried about that, but that's another possible concern, as John mentioned, the heat in the summer, you know, being able to work on those fields. My only personal knowledge of that is I know in the old Busch Stadium when it was AstroTurf, it was legendary heat because it doesn't dissipate the heat that well. I know some, you know, we're moving towards that a little bit, like the stadium out at UWF is going to be turf. The stadium at Wahoos when they went to the Miami Marlins is turf. So I'm not sure if they have better technology now than they had before. But again, these are all kind of open questions. Charles Baer raised the objection that, look, $25 million for just three sports, softball, baseball, and lacrosse, is a lot, given, you know, all the different things that we have to consider in this area. So, again, Ashley kind of – and she did not get a good answer on that other than I think David Baer made the point that if we wait, it'll cost more. It'll delay us generating the revenue, which we want to start generating right away. You know, I don't know. I'm torn on it economically. I don't know which analysis is really the better one. There was one comment that raised my eyebrows a little bit, and it's because, to me, it just – it feels like the Stephen Barry Vanity Project in a repackaged form. Like, he wanted to do the big indoor sports complex at, you know, Ashton Brosnahan, and everybody railed against that, and they dropped it. It just feels like he wants to do something like this, and now we're going to try and do it on 9 Mile. And there was an odd comment that Ashley Hofberger made, that I want to – it just kind of – it doubled down on my eyebrow raise.
I am under the impression there is a lot of momentum behind this from the board. Obviously, I'm only one of five, but I think a lot of people were very excited about this. It's just a question of how do we balance the spending with the base center spending.
Correct.
So just knowing that all of that's going to have to come from the same pot. So one of those projects is going to have to be scaled back to some degree.
Which is also true. You've got these other major projects we're working on. And, you know, on the one hand, the board is saying we don't have any money for Baptist. We don't have any money in the general fund, but we do want $25 million from TDC to do this. Now, granted, TDC is special money. It's only usable for this thing for now. If the bill passes, that would change. But that comment at the beginning?
I am under the impression there is a lot of momentum behind this from the board.
How would she know that? And now, look, this is going to sound like I'm criticizing her, but that sounds like a sunshine violation. I mean, it just, how would she know that her fellow commissioners, you know, unless... there may be posts, there may be comments, there may be scuttlebutt, there may be rumor, but that was an odd comment to make, right? That somehow she's aware that the board is kind of on board with this. Well, this is not something the board has had any, that I remember, vote on, discussion on. I could be misremembering. It's entirely possible. Things slip my mind. But I thought that was a weird comment, too. So, it just kind of, and even Charles Baer made a point. He's like, it's weird that the county sent their people to come to persuade us to give them money to spend on a project they want to do. Like, it's all odd. So, 437-1620. Oh, got a ton of texts here. Let's see. Somebody says there's more injuries on turf, FYI, which is interesting because the pitch they were making was that turf is safer because of consistent playing surface. Balls don't take weird bounces and catch you in the teeth kind of thing. And you're saying more injuries are on turf? I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Artificial turf fields are extremely expensive and cause more sports injuries. They don't give like natural turf does. Two downfalls, somebody says. They need to fix the parking lot also. Somebody else texted.
Have you ever driven?
I've driven around it. I've maybe been on it one time.
That is horrible.
It's an awful parking lot. Okay. It's all dirt, right? I mean,
it's all like gravel, dirtish stuff.
My grandson, somebody says, is on a travel ball team. He plays every weekend and travels to Daphne, Perdido Key, Panama City, anywhere but NEP. Those tournaments bring in 10 to 15 teams locally. Out-of-towners and all that are watching the games, pay 10 to 20 bucks a day over a three-day tournament weekend. It's a big moneymaker. No, I agree about that. And I think the spinoff to hotel rooms. And if this were the difference maker, and maybe it is, then I buy the and then. I buy the if you can get the people to come and do it. I'm just not sure that you need to spend the money to get that and if it'll make the big difference.
And that goes back to Para. They have tournaments almost every other weekend, baseball, softball. So maybe there's something at NEP that needs to be fixed other than the
fields. Yeah. And I don't know enough to know. You did it for a long time. You would have a better insight. Somebody says, how much does it really rain in the summertime in Pensacola compared to $25 million? Well, it does rain a lot in the summer. But yes,
but
up against $25 million if you fix
issues,
the drainage.
Yeah.
Right. For I don't know what, $5 million, $8 million. I don't know what that would cost. Three boys and a girl who played travel baseball and softball went to college on a scholarship. Turf is not needed in all caps. We played many games in the rain. When there was lightning, we stopped till it cleared, but went back and continued playing in the rain. Kids love the rain. I agree with John. Tiger Point just put in a bunch of sod on fields for this season. You do not need turf, nor do you need to spend $25 million. Somebody says NEP is actually in Lumen's district, but across the street from Stevens and less than a quarter mile from Ashley's and Steven Strohberger, so it's a good opportunity for everybody to work together. Yeah, I wasn't sure where the lines fell in that particular area. Somebody says turf drains and grass drains, but much slower. 3+ inches of rain is playable on turf in no time, but not on grass. And it adds 10-plus degrees as an official. He says that really sucks. Let's see. They also have to pave the parking lot out at the 9-mile facility. Okay, that's related to Ashton Brosnahan. Okay, sounds like the listeners are kind of with you, John, that this is not a good choice, not necessary, carries risks, and the price tag is really too high. So, okay, and I don't know enough. That's why I wanted to have the conversation, because I don't know enough other than it sounded dubious to me when I was listening. I was surprised. They voted for it. 5-3.
What?
Close vote. They approved it. So the Board of County Commissioners is going to take this up. They did pass it 5-3.
Oh, the TDC did.
TDC passed. And they're only an advisory board. So, yeah. John, you got traffic on the fives. Go ahead.
Yes. No accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Starting to see some minor slowdowns there. Also, if you're traveling on Avalon Boulevard going southbound toward I-10, you might see maybe a 5 to 7 minute congestion delay through there. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
June 15th is World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Every year, millions of older adults suffer from abuse, neglect, or exploitation, often in silence. If you suspect elder abuse, report it. One call can make a difference. Contact your local area agency on aging at 1-800-963-5337 or visit elderaffairs.org. Let's protect our elders. See something, say something.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wait, you get looking. You're hot.
It's like looking in a mirror, only not.
Hey, hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
Good morning, 6:59 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Lots of passionate answers here. A lot of people who do travel by. I appreciate all the input that y'all put in on that question, the turf fields on 9 Mile. Probably May 1st is when they'll have a vote on that, I would think, but the agenda is not posted yet. David, do you have a quick story for us, a headline?
Well, I certainly do. The New Orleans Jazz Fest starts today. They got some big stars taking the stage over the 10 days. Pearl Jam, Luke Combs, and Lil Wayne.
All right, very good. And very interesting drama from Santa Rosa County coming up next.